I could see the lecture coming, not that I was that sharp or perceptive or intuitive. It's because I'm the youngest of three and I saw and or heard the lecture two other times before me. We were driving back from the DMV and I had just received my license. And my mother was next to me, of course, face was white, hanging on like this, and was going a million miles an hour about this. You're going too fast, you're going too close around this corner, don't come this close to this, and on it went. Could not wait to get to the house to say, bye-bye, Mom, go on now. Of course, I said it with all the love in my heart. And all the way as she got out of the car and she was still talking as she went up the steps to the house and I went that way. And as I drove away, I thought, yes, yes, it was the third one, yes, I have arrived. I have all the freedom in the world. I can go anywhere I want, do whatever I want. I own the world now because I'm 16 years old. And not only do I have my license, I have my own car. That's right. See what happens when you start mowing lawns when you're 8 years old? I own the world because I owned a car. Well, here's what happens when you live in a small town and you drive a car. Not only do all the folks in law enforcement know you and know your parents, but so do all of our parents' friends knew me as well. So by the time I got home, an hour later, my mom said, how long would you like to keep driving? She'd had numerous calls. I don't know what. I'm sure I was driving just fine. Thank you very much. It is a good moment when you get your license, if that's important to you, as it is to many adolescents, and even later in life for folks. There is something about getting your license that then gives you, as we often say, a license to do something, right? It gives you all sorts of freedom and flexibility and the ability to go places, and there's some huge empowerment about having a license. And if you don't believe that, talk to somebody at the other end of the spectrum who's had to give up their license. And the freedom and the flexibility and the sense of having to depend on others and how challenging that is. How challenging that is. Something about having that license. There's just a great sense of ownership that gives you a sense of freedom. Jesus goes into the temple, he unrolls the scroll, and he starts proclaiming the words from Isaiah. And in this gospel we hear today, we hear these words where Jesus is owning his freedom of who he is as a child of God. He is proclaiming to all those around him that he is, in fact, a child of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Rolls it up. And off he goes to live to that what he's called. With a sense of ownership and a sense of freedom to do that, that now he is choosing that. And incredibly audacious to go into the temple and to do that amongst all those other folks. I don't think we often give that attention, that this was a big deal that Jesus did this in front of these folks. But he was making a clear statement about his own sense of his identity and what he was owning in terms of his faith and about being sent forth to now live fully into that faith. We gather this day, and particularly for those of you who are being confirmed, you're getting the keys to your faith this day. You are getting the keys to your faith this day. Up until this point, for many of you, it has been, you have been riding in the passenger seat. I'm not diminishing anything that's happened in your faith journey, but it was somebody else at your baptism, most likely, that stood up for you and said, yes, we'll make sure that we drive them to the places they need to go to help them to grow into their faith. And along the way, others have come and have shuttled you places. Many of them are sitting around you today, your clergy, your youth ministers, other folks, your parents and grandparents, all these folks have been shuttling you around on your faith journey, and today you get the keys to your car, to your faith car. And and you should all be going, yes, yes, yes. Right? Oh, okay, well, I got time. But I want you to hear me because that's what happens today. So this is not me giving you the parental lecture. This is me saying to you, this is me affirming you. And when those folks come up around you later and put hands on you and we pray, that's affirming that says, yes, this is your faith. It's yours now, drive it. And for those we'll be receiving today, this is us welcoming and affirming you into the community. The keys are yours. Now the question that you're driving your own faith car, as it were, where are you going? Where are you going to go? You can now drive off into the sunset. Or certainly in soon-to-be years you can do that for most of you, particularly when you are no longer parking in your parents' garage, also known as staying at your parents' home, right? It's up to you then. Where are you going to drive your faith at that point? Will you, when you come back to visit your parents, come back in and come here? Will you go to those places that you've known that were your church homes? Will you come by for special occasions? Will you find another faith community to find a place to park your car? Who will you take with you on the journey? Who will continue to be a part of that? And who will you invite to be a part of that who may never have been a part of the car before? These are your choices now. These are your choices now, because when you come to the place of confirmation in your faith, it's now all up to you. And you can make the determination what you're going to do. There is a sad line about confirmation that is, confirmation for many is like graduation, as in, bye-bye. Nice knowing you. Thanks for riding in the car that belonged to your parents. Now you have your own car, and you're gone. It's not that. It's not that. It's just now your choice. And not only your choice, but not unlike when you get the keys to that car, it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility of how your faith journey will go. My encouragement to you is that you continue to find a home to have others around you to ride with you on that journey. Still good folks who have mentored you this far, good clergy and youth ministers, your parents and others, I encourage you to invite them to ride along with you. But I also encourage you to find others and to find other places. And particularly to the young people in our midst, I encourage you to drive all of us as the body of Christ to places we've never been before. We need you to take us to places we've never been before. We need you to take us. But for that to happen, you have to drive the car. John O'Donohue, one of my favorite theologians, says, the journey is always about transformation. The hope is, as you begin this journey, now owning your faith, now having the keys to your faith, that your journey will continue to be a journey of transformation. That each step along the way that you'll be growing more and more into that person that Christ is calling you to be. Remember that those of us who have been with you thus far will continue to be here, happy to come along for the ride, happy to support you, but the keys are now yours. In Jesus' name, amen.